He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Indeed, he is alive and well today. Well, welcome everyone to our celebration here at Bonesville Mennonite Church. It's good to see you here today. Special welcome to any guests who are joining us today. Special welcome to those joining us via live stream also. Receive this call to worship. Together we seek the way of God, the generous, compassionate, grace-filled, abundant, powerful, unsettling way of God. On this day that God has made, may our hearts be open to the good news that Christ is not here. For he has risen. He has risen indeed. May we join in singing and celebrating this day that the Lord has made.
Well, I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. And during our first song, the ushers will come forward and receive our gifts and tithing. And the children may also come forward for my coins count.
The sin of man and wrath of God has been on
Lord Jesus, we are here this morning in recognition of the price that you have paid for our sins, and we are here to celebrate your resurrection, and we just ask that you would help us to live our lives in a way that others see that celebration of your resurrection. And we just thank you for the blessing of good church leadership. We ask your blessing upon all those that lead us here and in the broader church. We specifically pray for our bishop, for Eric Marshall, and for those who have gone before him. Lord, we ask that even now you would begin raising up and stirring in the hearts of those who will come after him as well, that your word would be lodged deeply in our lives and that we would be prepared and would respond to your truth here this morning and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Was given a name.
living hope.
The work is much that you are our living hope and that you live inside us and that we can come before you with every care and every burden that we find ourselves in, that we just lay it at your feet, God. Thank you so much for sending your son to die for us and rise him again on this Easter morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Children to come forward at this time. Room right down here. Right over here. It's a perfect seat for you. Nope. Well, good morning. So what is today?
Easter.
Easter, okay.
Yay.
I'm gonna read you a story, okay? And I want you to listen for three words. One word is candy. Another word is eggs.
And Easter.
The other word is bunny rabbits. Three words, okay? What are they? Bunny rabbits. Candy. Eggs. Bunny rabbits. Okay. I think you got it. So listen carefully. Okay? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mother the Mary of James took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." So now, did you hear any of those words? You didn't hear the word candy? Nope. Didn't hear the word eggs? You didn't hear the word bunny rabbits? Why not? That was the Easter story. Yes. Exactly. It's not about candy, eggs, or bunny rabbits. It's not about that. Right, it's about Jesus rising from the dead. So that's exactly why we're here today, to celebrate the fact that Jesus is no longer in the grave. He's risen from the dead. He's alive and well today. And because of that, when we put our faith and trust in him, we'll live with him forever one day. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. Then you guys can grab a snack and head back to your parents. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this day that we celebrate the resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And I pray that these children would begin to understand exactly what that means for them. And that they will one day put their faith and trust in you completely for the salvation of their souls. So I just pray for these children. Bless them today in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, you can grab a snack and head back to your parents. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen. That's the reason why we're here this morning. And again, welcome to Bonesville, and welcome to our celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. This morning, we do indeed have something to celebrate. Would you agree?
Yes.
How about an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got something to celebrate. So this morning, we're going to be moving from the series that we've been following. We're going to be moving today from certainty to openness. Moving from the certainty of Good Friday, when it appears that Jesus has been crucified, died, and placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But we need to remember one thing. Things aren't always as they appear. Just like this story, which is supposedly a true story. There was a man on a flight from Seattle to San Francisco when the plane landed unexpectedly. The flight attendant explained that there would be a delay and said that if the passengers wanted to get off the plane, they'd be reboarding in 50 minutes. Everyone got off the plane except for one gentleman who was blind. His seeing eye dog lay quietly underneath the seat in front of him. So the pilot knew that this man was blind, so he approached him and asked him if he would care to get off the plane and stretch his legs. He said, no, he's fine, but perhaps his dog would like to stretch his legs so you can take my dog for a walk. You know, we're going to be here for almost an hour. That might be a good thing for the dog to do that. So, imagine this. All the people who had just gotten off the plane were in the gate area when they saw the pilot of the plane walking out the jetway with a seeing eye dog. And it is reported that everybody made a mad dash to change their flight plans to a different airline. So, things aren't always as they appear. When Jesus was crucified, his disciples were devastated. They were certain that Jesus was gone. It appears that they weren't even thinking about the possibility of Jesus resurrecting from the dead. They were certain he was gone and were not open to anything else. And then we read this in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked the woman, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So Mary Magdalene is the one who discovers that Jesus' tomb is open and it's empty. After the other disciples came to see the empty tomb and then leave, she is the one who meets Jesus. Her sorrowful certainty that Jesus' dead body had been taken was transformed when Jesus spoke her name. She is suddenly open to the unimaginable truth of Jesus' resurrection. Mary gets to share the good news with the disciples, inviting them to let go of the certainty that they knew the ending and move to being open to God's supernatural triumph over death. Mary didn't recognize Jesus at first. Her grief had blinded her. She couldn't see him because she didn't expect to see him. And then Jesus spoke her name and everything changed. She immediately recognized him. And imagine the love that flooded her heart when she heard her Savior saying her name. So this morning, Jesus is saying your name. Do you hear him? This morning, we're invited to surrender our certainties that falsely place limitations on God and move to being opened and allow Jesus to be our good shepherd. So I wonder if the disciples recalled and now understood maybe what Jesus had said in John 10, verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Because Jesus laid down his life for the sheep, for us here today, if we have accepted his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, if we've repented and ask for forgiveness, if we know the good shepherd, then we can, along with the psalmist in Psalm 23, say, "The Lord is my shepherd." In this psalm, God is seen as a caring shepherd and a dependable guide. In this world filled with hopelessness, the good shepherd is our only hope because he is alive today. Psalm 23 may be one of the most familiar, one of the most popular, and the most quoted psalm there is. If you look closely at Psalm 23, you can see that the words I, my, and me are used 17 times in those six verses. So maybe that's why it's so familiar and a favorite of so many people, because it's so intensely personal. When we allow or invite Jesus to be our shepherd, then the result will be, as David wrote, I shall not be in want. This is a picture of contentment. And I believe contentment is something that every person is searching and seeking for. True contentment comes only from one place. I submit to you today that when we allow the risen Jesus to be our good shepherd, in spite of all that's going on in the world around us, we can enjoy contentment and peace in our hearts. When we know the good shepherd, when we allow the risen Jesus to be our shepherd, then the psalmist says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He makes me. He leads me. He guides me. He restores me. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because the good shepherd is with us. Death casts a frightening shadow over us because we are entirely helpless in its presence. There's only one person who can walk with us through death's dark valley and bring us safely to the other side, the God of life, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The psalmist also says, your rod and your staff comfort me. The shepherd had a rod to beat the wolf, the lion, or whatever attacked his flock of sheep. The rod speaks to God's protection for us, his sheep. I believe that we've been protected, or we received protection from God many times that we are totally unaware of. But I also believe that there are times when we can clearly identify and see God's protection in our lives. One of those times happened recently. It was a Saturday morning, or Saturday, it was Saturday afternoon, and I got a text from my son Todd. His text said, please pray. We're at Walmart in Wyomissing. There's been a shooting in the parking lot. And that was the end of the text. And I'm like, okay, yes, we will pray. Where are you? Are you safe? So I text him back, said, where are you? He said, we're in Walmart, in the back, in the warehouse, hiding. Okay. So we called people, had people praying. So it turns out that there would have been a domestic dispute in the parking lot of the Walmart, and someone was shot and killed. So as Todd and Julie and Bryce were going into the Walmart, they heard the shots in the parking lot. Everyone started running. The Walmart employees were trained to get people in the back, blocked the doors, got people in the back, and they were hiding because they weren't aware of what exactly was taking place. All they knew was there was shots fired in the parking lot. So it wasn't someone who was mad at the world, it was someone who was mad at that individual and took that person's life. So, half hour later, he texted me and said, we're safe, run away home. So, we were praising God that they were protected from what could have been, who knows what could have happened. But let me back up to Saturday morning. Saturday morning, I received a text from a friend that said, you need to listen to this song. I don't even remember. I think it's Jesus. The name of Jesus, I think, was the name of the song. Anyway, in that song, it talks about praying the name of Jesus over your family, over your children, over your grandchildren, asking God for protection. And so Sandy and I, that was what was on our lips all day long. We were thinking, breathing those prayers of protection for our family. Little did we know that that afternoon they needed God's protection in that particular situation. So praise God for those times that we can identify and clearly see his hand of protection upon our lives. Let me share you one more story. This comes from a group that's called Intercessors for Ukraine. There's a group that meets and prays. So they put out a report of some of the supernatural things that they've witnessed during this war in Ukraine. Let me share one of those with you. There was a member of a church in Ukraine who was serving in the military. So he called his parents from the front line to tell them that military intelligence had warned of a large drop of Russian paratroopers right in the area where he was stationed. And they were told, expect it to happen. It's not if, it's when it will happen. So he called his parents from the front line, told them to pray and to get other people to pray also, which they did. And then this is what this soldier on the front lines in Ukraine saw with his own eyes. The Russian planes came. The paratroopers jumping out of the plane. And then God sent a strong wind that blew all the paratroopers back over the border, back into Russia. That, my friends, is a supernatural protection of a living God that we serve. So there's times when I think that we don't know or don't realize how God is protecting us, and there's other times that we can clearly see God has protected us in supernatural ways. So in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 23, the psalmist speaks of the shepherd anointing his head with oil and his cup overflowing. Goodness and love following him all the days of his life and dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. In ancient Egypt culture, it was customary for hosts to anoint their guests with fragrant oil. Hosts were also expected to protect their guests at all costs. The Good Shepherd offers the protection of a host even when enemies surround us. So in the final scene of this psalm, we see that believers will dwell with God, the perfect and good shepherd and host, and he promises to guide and protect us through this life and to bring us to his house forever. Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life for us here this morning. This morning, Jesus is alive. Let me close with this. There was an elderly preacher at a benefit dinner Also attending that same dinner was a renowned actor who was asked to grace the gathering with his eloquent words before the meal. So he chose to quote Psalm 23. So as he stood rather arrogantly, he began to quote this ever so popular psalm. When he had finished, the people applauded, and the actor sat down, and then in the corner of the room, an elderly, gray-haired, stately figure rose to his feet as a hush fell over the crowd. He spoke in a loud and a deep voice. He said, "My name is Reverend Rollins. I would like to say something, if I may." So obviously respecting the Reverend's position and his age, the people obliged. So Reverend Rollins gathered his senses, took a deep breath, and then he began. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And as he ended with the last verse, tears were streaming down his wrinkled face. And he sat down. And you could have heard a feather hit the floor. The only sound in the room was the sound of the 300 people there weeping softly to themselves. The actor was so embarrassed and appalled that he didn't get a response like that. So he walked over to the elderly preacher's table and he said, "I've been acting, I've been giving speeches for many, many years, and I've never had a response like the one I saw here today. I quoted the 23rd Psalm just as you did. So what makes you so different?" The elderly preacher raised his eyes to the young actor and he replied, "Son, you quoted the 23rd Psalm, and you know the 23rd Psalm very, very well. But son, I know the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. So my friends, that is the difference between knowing about the Good Shepherd, the risen and living Jesus, or personally knowing the Good Shepherd, the risen and living Jesus. So the only question left this morning is, do you know about the risen Jesus, or do you actually personally, intimately know him this morning? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do thank you for this day that we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Thank you that he is alive today. Thank you you sent your Holy Spirit to live within us, to guide us into all truth. And as we remember that what happened that day, Resurrection Sunday morning, I pray, Father God, if there's anyone here today who does not know you personally, that you would knock on the door of their hearts. They would hear that knocking, and they would respond to you and begin a dynamic, personal, intimate relationship with you, the risen and living Jesus. Bless us now as we share in communion together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I invite Tony to come and lead us in the sharing of the emblems.
I would like to greet you in the name of Jesus. We get to gather around the communion table this morning. We get to have that intimate fellowship with Jesus, just like his disciples did. Listen to Luke 22:14-16. When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus had a strong, a deep desire to have communion with his disciples. And he desires the same thing with us. He has that deep, strong desire to gather with us. As we take communion, just remember the new covenant that Jesus made for us. He paid the debt for each one of us. He took the sin of the world upon himself, and he set us free. Free from sin and death. Luke 22:17-20. He took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance for me. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. It is shed for you. The blood of Jesus was poured out like you fill a cup. Jesus knew what was going to take place. And he was willing to give up his body and his blood for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a way to be with God the Father. So as we partake the bread and the cup this morning, focus on and remember that Jesus gave himself freely for us. It was free for us. The love that he showed us is without measure and without comprehension. 1 Corinthians 11:27-29, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. We are to examine ourselves, examine our hearts. Why are we doing this? Why are we taking communion? Because it's what we do twice a year? Do we have sin in our lives that is unforgiven? Or are we holding something against our brother or sister in Christ? There's something, go make it right. Go right now and make it right. Make it right before God and your fellow man. If there's any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, I invite you, if you have a good relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I invite you to join with us in communion. Join with us in gathering around the communion table. I do have some instructions for you. I ask that you would wait to partake of the emblems until we can do this all together. And just wait till everyone is served. Larry, will you come and help prepare the emblems? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you gave us simple things to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, yet they're so wonderfully profound. His body broken like bread and his blood poured out like filling a cup. Just speak to our hearts this morning. Fill us with a new appreciation and love for you. I just pray that you bless these emblems as we partake and gather with you around the communion table, as we remember your love that you have poured out and given to us through your Son, Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite those who are helping to distribute the emblems to come forward. Has anybody been missed that would like to participate this morning? For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance for me." Will you join me in partaking of the bread? I would invite the brothers forward to distribute the cup. Has anybody been missed who would like to participate this morning? In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Will you join me in drinking the cup? As you go today, may you be moved in your hearts, touched by God's Spirit with a closeness, a fullness like no other. May God bless you. I have one announcement. The Holy Spirit Fellowship that meets here is going to be canceled for this evening because it's Easter Sunday. So we'll be picking up on their next normal scheduled day. Will you stand for the parting benediction? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful Easter.